Is that good by Solomon? And the official is having a little conversation. No basket.
That's Mr. President, Mexico. Cuba again.
I think that ball, I guess it must have hit too high over the backboard. Eli brings it into the front court. Gets it to Chiodi. Gets it into the lane behind the back, but Eme steps in and steals it. 71-65 with 2:36 to go. Baseline and pass and the miss by Victor and the rebound. Emmanuel brings it out, looks for the three and short. Rebound Rivers Hoopers and the finish by Solomon Ezra. They are all but have total control of those boards, Usher.
Rivers Hoopers with their size tonight, it has helped them on the boards and it's evident.
EMA with the pass to Anthony. Victor misses to the basket and the strong finish by Lubaki. As EMA brings it up for the Rivers Hoopers, down six.
And it is a 6-point game with 1 minute and 35 seconds to play.
Right the middle lane and the finish by the Rivers Hoopers. No one around Solomon Ezra. He gets the easy finish. 8-point lead by the Rivers Hoopers, 75-67. 1:18 to go in the fourth period. Chiodi gets by Ame, and then the nice dump pass to Arnold, who finishes. Manuel brings it up. Ame gets it up top. Chiodi with the reach. No call. And then the steal by Chiodi going back the other way. Eli takes his time. Under a minute to go in the fourth quarter. Eli with the hesitation and the travel. There go those travels. Usher showing up here late.
Well, with two people playing defense on Eli, the smart decision was to pass the ball.
Well, he got caught up.
Well, when you look at the 10 steals by the Rivers Hoopers, it just goes to speak to how important that has been to establish a 6-point lead at this point in the game. As the NBC looks to cut that gap.
Yeah, and even overcoming 5-22 from beyond the arc as Ben Uzo dribbles out the clock and knocks down the finish with the left hand at the rim. And then the steal by Benjamin. It goes back out to Benjamin. They're running clock. An 8-point lead. And then the foul is committed by Fabrice. What do you think?
Very smart decision by the Rivers Hoopers to play down the cloak, because that gives them time to swing that ball, and GNBC, who are under pressure, ended up fouling.
Ball comes inbounds. Rivers Hoopers maintain control. And Ugo has it. Uzo, I'm sorry, has it up top. Kicks it out. Swing over to Benjamin, who knocks it down. Usher, that's called a dagger, because that will take you out. As the Rivers Hoopers extend the lead to 11 on that shot there.
That's a big one from Benjamin Ike, and to be honest, that is what his fans and the fans of Rivers Hoopers expected from the beginning of this tournament.
Well, that three was huge. Speaking of threes, the BAL with founding partner New Fortress Energy launched Threes for Trees, a green initiative in which Three trees are donated to Trees for, I'm sorry, three trees are donated to Trees for the Future organization for every three-pointer made during the BAL season. And that was a big one, Usher. Additionally, each time a fan shares, likes, comments, or retweets at hashtag BAL Greens social media post, a tree will also be planted. Great when we can use the game to positively impact the community around us. And need we say, Usher, the NBA, Amadou Gallo Fall, and the Vision have done a lot of good, not only for the world, but the continent of Africa and these communities.
Well, it's important for everyone to know that they can be involved in bringing change in their society, and that's what the BAL represents at this point, to have the players, to have the fans involved, and to know that if you like, share, comment, or shoot a tweet, that you are changing the environment in Africa.
I like the way you explain that. You've done such a great job. GMBC misses. Eli puts up the three at the end. And we got another one in the books. And the Rivers Hoopers will have to wait for their fate as they get their first win as GMBC goes down 80-69. That was a hard-fought battle, Usher. Pretty much all the way to the end, it took the entirety of the game for the Rivers Hoopers to finally get a little separation.
Well, it's important to know that the Rivers Hoopers were 21-10 in that last quarter. That's where they broke away from GMBC, who have been incredible. What a journey it has been for them from the first phase of the qualifiers through to the last phase here in Kigali, and to play at the BAL. A very, very proud moment for the people of Madagascar, and especially in Antananarivo, where the GNBC have so many fans.
Yeah, I want to illuminate that. Yeah, they have nothing to be discouraged about. They lost arguably their most important or valuable player in Cam Ridley to an injury, unfortunately, because not having him, they had to fill in a lot of gaps and a lot of space. People thought the Rivers Hoopers would do better than they did, and on paper, they probably are better than their record shows. They're 1-2. You and I would probably agree on that, so it's no slap.
Wow, what a game, what a game. It was extremely close for the majority of the game, but it seems like we finally got the Rivers Hoopers to get their first win. This is Voice of America, special VOA coverage of the NBA BAL. This is Mukdo Yabaro. I'm with Prince Nesta, and we are joined post-game by one of my favorite guys when it comes to sports, the legend himself, Sonny Young.
Sporty greetings, Muckville, and sporty greetings, Prince. I've really been enjoying your special VOA coverage of the Basketball Africa League. Yeah, shout out for Rivers Hoopers. They kind of turned it up a little bit in the second half, Muckville, and really a must-win game for Rivers Hoopers. They'll now hope to maybe get into the quarterfinals as one of the best third-place teams in their group. But, yeah, it was a must-win for this team from Port Harcourt, Nigeria, and I think they stepped up. Your thoughts, Muckville?
I honestly feel like they did an excellent job. At the moment, Taryn Sullivan is on a post-game interview. Let's patch him in right quick, and we will be right back.
We knew that we had to take advantage of our size on the offensive end, and when they came to double team, whether it be on Chris or Coco or anyone that was in the post, we just had to be prepared to kick the ball out, move it to the open guy, and try to knock down shots.
Well, Sullivan, how much weight is off your shoulders now that you have your first victory at the BAL?
It feels great. Now, I know this means a lot to the people back in Lagos, Nigeria. I know the Rivers Hoopers team was very determined to represent their country very well. So I'm just glad I could be a part of this and help them out to get a win.
Well, go enjoy that victory with your team, Mr. Sullivan. Congratulations on that success. I hope you advance into the final eight. You guys have a fun ball club to watch. But great job, and have a great rest of your evening.
Thank you. I truly appreciate it. Thank you. Take care.
Absolutely.
That was Taryn Sullivan, who had 19 points for the win, the 80-69 win against GNBC for the Rivers Hoopers. He got injured towards the end of the game. Hopefully, if they do advance, he's able to come back, and it wasn't too severe of an injury. Prince.
Absolutely, absolutely. I totally agree with you. What a guy. And, you know, he actually played for the Sacramento Kings. And so he's a guy who's quite experienced as far as, you know, international experience is concerned. But, you know, coming back to, you know, the topic at hand, I think, yes, I totally agree with Sunny. Rivers Hoopers put in the work. But also, I think the Madagascan team, GNBC, what a team, what a masterclass performance. I saw their performance during the you know, Patriots game, where they gave the Patriots quite a challenge. And, you know, I think the sort of performance that they have put in this particular game is one for the books. There was something that happened to them during the first game against U.S. Monastery, which is just a blowout victory. But, you know, they have been showing a considerable improvement, you know, coming onto this particular game. Their relentlessness, you know, determination, team spirit, impeccable performance, I think is one for the books. And, you know, they were doing all this without one of their most formidable players, Cameron Ridley, who's actually their center. And so, you know, to me, I think their names should be preserved in a song. The names of Fabrice Mandandison, Ramaro Santa, Eli Randramampionona, and Kiadi Razanamahelina should be preserved in a song. And even the officials and staff behind this team, they should keep
I
their heads up.
I love that phrase. Preserved in a song. Sing it. Hey, Muckville, I would like to give a special shout out for the head coach of Rivers Hoopers, Ogo Odaudu. Just a really good friend of the Sunny Side of Sports. Before the first Basketball Africa League tournament kicked off, Iron Mike and Bonye, I got to give a shout out for Iron Mike.
Right.
He did some profiles of the Rivers Hoopers team in advance of the tournament, and I know you know, I know they really want to get through to the quarterfinals, and all really Muckville, from an African viewpoint, I think we do need to see a Nigerian club in the knockout rounds, Africa's most populous country.
Right.
I know we have many, many listeners in Nigeria who are keeping their fingers crossed that the Rivers Hoopers can make it through to right. the quarterfinals. But, yeah, I'll give them a shout-out for that big win in Kigali on this Saturday.
No.
And, you know, I think this is also coming off of a backdrop of, you know, the COVID season had a lot of effect on a lot of teams. And, you know, a lot of players, actually, this is like, you know, some of their first games, you know, since the COVID season started and stuff like that. And so there's a lot of exhaustion and, you know, a lot of catch-up to do as far as the team chemistry is concerned. And, you know, with this competition just coming off of the backdrop of COVID season, I think there's a lot that needs to be decided. I wish this tournament was held. And, you know, there's nothing that I can do as far as COVID is concerned, but I wish, you know, there would have been no COVID. Fans would have been there on the ground, because I know Nigerians like to travel a lot, especially the fans, and they would have filled that arena, and things would have been a bit different, I feel.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with both your sentiments. I feel as though, you know, with Nigeria having the level of popularity that they do, especially when it comes to when you think African basketball, you definitely think Nigeria. This team actually is rather undersized for a regular Nigerian team. You know, you're used to seeing Nigeria be very dominating and just huge, like really big players, tall players. You know, you think of a legend who's one of my favorite players of all time, you know, Hakeem Olajuwon, the Dream, you know, Nigerian.
Hakeem the Dream.
Yeah, he's a legend, you know what I mean? That's the Dream Shake, you know what I mean, had a bunch of centers.
He is a legendary name, Muck Phil. One of my basketball friends, I mean, right before the game started, he texted me, who do you think is the greatest player ever from Africa in terms of basketball?
Right.
I got to go with Hakeem the Dream.
Man.
Just in terms of what he did during his great career in the NBA with the Houston Rockets.
Right.
And a great point brought out. I was listening to you guys at halftime, and I think it was Chet that mentioned how a lot of these young African players start out playing soccer or football, as
right.
it's known throughout many regions of the world. And Olajuwon originally was a soccer player,
right?
I think before he picked up a basketball, and that the footwork that he learned from soccer or football, he really translated that to the basketball court. I mean, I remember some of those moves he made, like you just mentioned, Buckville, the Dream Shake. Some of those moves under the basket were just incredible.
Right, he had centers jumping up and down, but like you're absolutely right. An argument can be made if a player starts playing soccer or football, as it's known in other parts of the world, earlier on, their footwork allows them to do some really, really amazing things when it comes to basketball. Joel Embiid also played soccer growing up as well. As you can see, his footwork is really phenomenal for a big man. You know, he's able to maneuver around. You're used to seeing bigger players kind of be rather stiff, not have the, you know, the type of movement that he has, but definitely we can attribute that to soccer and football.
I totally agree with you. And of course, just staying on that point, you are forgetting the recent inductee into the Hall of Fame, Kobe Bryant,
right,
who actually, you know, gives a lot of
shout outs to soccer.
Yep. And, you know, he used to play soccer, and he said, you know, especially when he used to live in Italy, he was really influenced by the way Italians played their soccer and stuff like that. And, you know, that translated to the way that he actually played his basketball. And, you know, also not just soccer, coming back to the United States, Michael Jordan, for instance, baseball was a big thing as far as, you know, Jordan was concerned. He even, you know, left basketball for like a season or something to go and play baseball.
Yeah.
So and I see a lot of other players also say like they started playing football and then, you know, translated that into basketball in Africa. I see a lot of, you know, people starting off with athletics too and then translating into basketball or soccer.
Right.
And so it's really nice to see the symbiosis, so, you know, the dynamics that play out with lots of different sports put together just to make an athlete better.
I know.
Prince, Prince, I really enjoyed your interview in the pregame show with Aru Ramadan Shan, South Sudan's first ever FIBA commissioner for basketball. I love that question, Prince, when you asked Aru about the influence of the foreign-based players, whether they're from Europe or the United States. And so I'll pose this one to you, Prince. We heard from Taryn Sullivan for the Rivers Hoopers briefly after the win by Rivers Hoopers. Do you think a player like Sullivan, that his skills and talents are, you know, helping develop the other members of Rivers Hoopers?
Absolutely. And I think the other way around, too. And Rivers Hoopers are also helping develop Sullivan. And so this sort of blend, and, you know, Aru Ramadan actually talked about that, the blend itself gives a lot of, you know, it sort of gives a lot of insight. Both players, the NBA players, are able to, like, you know, test themselves against the Africans, and the Africans also are able to test themselves against the foreign players. And I think such things should actually be encouraged. and not only in this particular Basketball African League, even in future tournaments. I mean, let's say high school teams, because I used to play basketball when I was in my high school. You know, there would be it would be something great if, let's say, Bill's high school team comes to Kenya, where he comes from, and, you know, plays our high school team and stuff like that. So I think this exchange program, as far as, you know, sports is concerned, not only builds communities, but at the same time, you know, just makes people, you know, develop their skills and, of course, get to learn from each other.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's it. Sonny, I just wanted to jump in. Prince, I don't know if you're aware, I actually played high school basketball, a portion of my high school. I played basketball in Kenya as well, in Nairobi.
Are you sure that's allegedly?
This is absolute factual. You can look up the type of damage I was doing with the Nairobi Jaffrey Academy. We were running it.
Muxville, you know, your sort of like reflection on Olajuwon, it also reminded me, you know, I do agree with Prince about the blending and how it's beneficial for both a foreign-based player and an African player. But this tournament also has me looking back, I think we're talking 30 years now, to the Dream Team.
Right.
From the 1992 Olympics with, you know, you had great players like Michael Jordan and Charles Barkley and Larry Bird, Patrick Ewing, and really how they I think we have to credit almost that team with the internationalization of the game, whether it be in Africa or Europe, all over the world.
Sonny,
your thoughts?
Yeah, absolutely. The thing about it is, you know, even when it comes to the conversation about who's the greatest player of all time, right? The reason why a lot of people tend to stick with Michael Jordan is not that he wasn't a great player. Of course, absolutely. Any fan of basketball knows Michael Jordan is arguably one of the greatest of all time, right? But it's also how he impacted the globalization of the game, right? With that 92 Barcelona Olympic Dream Team, like, basketball went from just being a thing that's played in America to a sport that youngsters all over the world now wanted to be a part of, and I feel like that's one of the main reasons, alongside with his collection of shoes as well, right? Jordans.
Right.
The sneakers. The sneakers just happen to be amazing as well, right? So that helps too.
Absolutely. And I totally agree with you.
I must say it is a pleasure to be on air with you guys, and I'll do a quick shout out. Listening to VOA Africa's special coverage of the inaugural Basketball League with Muxville Yabaro and Prince Nesta helming this BAL coverage. What's been your favorite thing about this tournament so far, Muxville?
There's been so many different instances, so many different games. I actually want to say the game that we have coming up, 2100 Kigali time, 3 p.m. in Washington, we have the Patriots versus U.S. Monastir. I'm really, really excited to see this team. These are the two, arguably two of the more dominant teams in the tournament, having one be the host nation from Rwanda, the other one from Tunisia. But, man, this is really going to show us where the Patriots stand up against the Tunisian side, the Tunisian side hasn't really shown me that they have any weaknesses.
I agree.
You know what I mean?
I agree, Muxville. That is a such a cohesive, calm team.
Fluid.
Experienced team.
Right.
They just look so just so collected when they're on the court.
Mm-hmm.
I thought so about Petro, the Angolan team, until they crumbled in their second game. It only walked within a couple of, you know, seconds remaining. But you never know, especially, and that's the beauty to me, going off of, you know, Sonny's question. The beauty to me about this particular tournament is that, you know, you expect a team to win it easily, and boom, you've got a game in your hand. It's really hard to determine who's going to win. You know, some of these games, the last seconds have been critical, or the last minutes have been critical as far as deciding the winner. And so I cannot just sit here and say, oh, okay, the Patriots are going to win, or, you know, U.S. Monastics are going to win. Of course, these are two tough teams, but the beauty about this tournament is that you just never know.
No, you're absolutely right. You just never know. But, yeah, I really want to see if the Patriots, you know, what they have in store, you know. And another thing with basketball is, as we all three of us know, basketball is a game about matchups, right? So a specific team might not match up well against one team, or another team might match up well against another. So if you have three teams, you can't say because one beat the other one, then they'll be able to win this game as well, right? As we've seen within the tournament, some teams that have won against a specific team have lost against others. So I feel like the Patriots and U.S. Monastery, they seem like they match up well against each other on paper. What we've noticed from the Patriots is they start off relatively slow because they don't have the team chemistry that the Tunisian side have, right? So if they're unable to get off to a quick start, the Tunisian side is not one to be played with, especially not in the first half. If they get off to a big lead in the first half, it could spell some trouble for the Patriots. So hopefully they start off on a good foot.
And, Michael, Monastir, I mean, they're from what I've seen of them so far in this tournament, their big men are just so versatile. They can, you know, in addition to rebounding, they're really good shooters. I think, like, Slimane, the last game, he made six three-pointers. And, you know, when you have a guy that big shooting from distance, it really creates a lot of opportunities for the other players, you know, his teammates.
And that's actually what we were talking about earlier on, because I was talking to Shaq about these, the current NBA, where, for instance, you find like big men, 7 foot, 6'11", you know, are shooting threes, and at the same time, they're very good dribblers. And, you know, Slimane is one of those particular people. You know, he tends to lift pressure off of other players and, you know, gives people a chance to basically dominate, because you just never expect what the big man is going to do. Traditionally, the big man is they're posting, you know, that's the conservative basketball where the big man is supposed to, you know, take the rebound and basically, you know, score.
Clean up in the paint.
You know, take off and lift off the pressure. And so I totally agree with you. But now, quick one player that you guys got to watch out for is former Sudanese refugee Ateh Majok, who's really going to be crucial as far as the U.S. Monastery team is concerned, and while Arakji.
Right.
Interesting. Great story, Prince. It sounds like Monastir really, really did some recruiting to bring him onto their team.
Right. They did. And also the player that he mentioned, RXG, he's a Lebanese guard, and he's phenomenal. He reminds me a lot of so many different, like Manu Ginobili. He gives me Steve Nash vibes, Dragic even.
Right? Yes.
So I really am interested to see how he does, and also Makrem. So Makrem is also, you know, that's, man, Makrem is, he's cream of the cream, that guy. So, you know, but.
But watch out for J. Cole, yeah?
Absolutely. I feel like with this being the third game, you know, Cole should come off, you know, and get some jumpers off. We shall see how it goes for the Patriots. But I definitely feel as though, you know, the Patriots are a team to not take lightly as well. You know, they have a lot of star power. They played well, you know, once they've locked in. So it's going to be an interesting matchup, to say the least.
Yeah, it should be a very exciting game. I agree.
Yes. All right, gentlemen. Thank you so much, Prince Nesta, Sonny Young. I am Muckbill Yarborough. This has been an amazing, amazing post game. We will be back 2100 Kigali time, 3 p.m. in Washington for the Patriots versus U.S. Monastir game. Enjoy the We will be back to enjoy more NBA BAL coverage on Voice of America.